Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Tradition Worship Center in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
This is my Bible as I look into the perfect law of liberty, the mirror of God's Word. I see myself as God sees me. I am who He said I am. I have what He said I have. I can do what He said I can do. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, living seed of my living God. My heart is receptive. My mind is alert. And I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise God, you may be seated.
Hello, this is Dr. Gerard Curry. Thank you for joining us today. And we are picking up where we left off yesterday. And we've been looking at the fact that godliness ensures great benefits. According to 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, it says, reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself towards godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise in the life that now is and of that which is to come. So godliness ensures great benefits in this lifetime, right here and now, with healing and prosperity and freedom and all the good things that God has promised to us, and then also rewards and all the greatness that is to come in the life that is still to come. So we want to pick it up today and look at being godly, not for benefits, because we love God, but there are profits and rewards for godliness. So let's pick it up right now as we continue.
When Abraham about to sacrifice his son Isaac, and Isaac said, Dad, we got the wood, the fire, we got everything else, but where is the offering? He said, God will supply for himself a offering. And the offering was there. You see, God, when He created you, He put the need in you.
All right. Amen.
You see, God's need in your life is what God's going to prepare for you before you even get there. So when God put the need in my life to start a business, to start a church, to start the school, to do all that stuff, my wife and myself, when God put that desire in us, He knew that need was given to us by Him, and He provided for those needs along the way. So as long as we're being godly to the best of our ability, no perfect ones in here. Did we boo-boo? Well, I think my wife might have messed up a few times, but me never. Yeah, right. That's not the way it goes. We made mistakes. We're trying our best. So does God say, well, look what you did. That's it. You're done. I'm done with you. Stay away from me. No. He says, you fall seven times, get up. Yeah. I'll lift you up every time. Right. So don't let your previous or your past mistakes determine where you're going.
Right.
Your past is not who you are, not where you're going.
Amen.
Right now, you are a child of God, and God has got a great plan for your life. You just got to know that and accept it. And rest in it. And as God begins to lead you, and He leads you footstep by footstep.
Yeah.
You know, when I came to America, I would like to have said, okay, God, give me a video. Next 20 years, a video, please. And He put everything down the... No, it doesn't happen that way. You take that step, He says, go to America. I was happy in South Africa. I was having a good life, so I thought. Until I came here. I was Christian. I was in a worship team. I was in church every second of every day. I was loving it. I had the steakhouses. But you know what? God said, go to America. You know, in my life, I obeyed God. Do you know that was considered by God to be a holy moment?
Yeah.
Why is it a holy moment? Because I obeyed God and came to America. I had no plans to come to America. I didn't have a desire to come to America. I never thought about coming to America. Like I said before, I just wanted to go to Hawaii because they had the hula girls there. That's the truth. That's some knowledge of Hawaii and America. In fact, I don't even know if it was part a state in America when I used to think that. Because it became a state later on. Then I met, my son saying, then I met my hula girl. And she can do it. She does a hula hoop. No, but so seriously. So it was a step. I took a step. I came to America. And then when I'm standing with my suitcases, Nowhere to God, we took another step and helped the ministry in Tampa. Every day, remember that? Traveling every single week, traveling from Lake Worth to Tampa, I think it was a 3.5 hour drive, four hour drive, every Saturday, stay with the pastor that night, Sunday do praise and worship, paint his church, help his church, Sunday night do service, then come home, get home at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and my wife would go work with my mother-in-law, cleaning houses and bring back a chicken. Or a loaf of bread. Or some salad. So that was a step we took. You know what? Go help that ministry in Tampa. Holy moment. Why? Because we obeyed. How many of you have ever had a holy moment before? You see, what that holy moment does. Now listen, through this ministry, we have led thousands upon thousands of people to the Lord. You've seen it. We've seen people healed in their thousands. We've seen it through the years, right? You've all seen it. People getting healed, people getting saved, people's lives changing, marriages being restored, etc., etc. So one holy moment of me saying, yes, Lord, coming to America can change my eternal destiny and also people's lives for all of eternity in the here and later. You understand? How many people have been saved through this ministry? Their lives are changed, altered here in the earth today and also later on in the world to come. A holy moment. Abraham had a holy moment with a dagger. Changed everything for all of eternity. But Abraham made a lot of mistakes too. David had a holy moment when he faced Goliath. But he had many unholy moments. But the holy moment that he had with Goliath opened up so much for the children of God, for God to come through that lineage. Do you understand? One holy moment outweighs every unholy moment you've ever had. Stop looking at your bad and start looking at the good that God got through your life. And so many people think, well, I could never attain what those people attained. That's a lie from the pit of hell. God is not a respecter of persons. One holy moment required of you is the same as one bigger holy moment required of somebody else. Just be obedient to God. When you're obedient and you do whatever it is, doesn't matter if he says, go clean the toilets. That's right. It's a holy moment when you say, yes, Lord. That'll affect eternity. Come on. We've got to get this in our lives because we think, well, we could never be like Sarah. You don't want to be like her. You don't have a baby when you're 90. We think we could never be like Abraham. We could never be like Daniel. David, forget it. Absolutely no chance. What about Deborah? What about Ruth? We can't be like them. They were holy. No, they weren't. They had holy moments. And when you start to get a realization that you can be as holy and do as much and more because you've got the Holy Spirit residing in you now, we can have more holy moments. So don't write yourself off. One little yes to God in any area of your life is a holy moment, and God puts it in the book. And when you get to heaven, your rewards. Remember that day I told you to clean the toilet? You did it, yeah. Reward. God is a rewarder. You all know he's a rewarder. Hebrews 11 tells us in many other places, God is a rewarder. Amen. Amen. So we can do that. And I didn't get any of my notes again because you guys keep holding me up. I wanted to speak about the protection. Look at this. Colossians 1:13. I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. Colossians 1:13 says, he has rescued us completely. He has rescued us completely. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You've been rescued completely from steal, kill, and destroy when you know who you are. When you know your rights. When you know your constitution. This constitution. Amen. You have been completely rescued from the tyrannical rule and authority of darkness, and God has translated us into the kingdom realm of his beloved Son. Wow. And so now, because he's taken me out of where I was so messed up. I was so lost. I was so going to hell, and I didn't even realize it. I thought I was just the bee's knees. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Right? We just got it going on. I know better than anyone else. We were so miserable in our stupidity, we didn't even know it. But somehow the Holy Spirit managed to get a beam of light somehow into this eye, which went through to the soulish realm, which opened up a whole new life for me. Amen. And I said, I need Jesus. Yeah. I need Jesus. Yeah. And I remember running down to the altar to receive Jesus. The first time in my life, at about 27, 28, I was 28. Running down, because I'd been in church for 25 years, never received Jesus. Oh, I knew about Jesus. I saw him on the cross every week. Every week he was still there. But then Easter, they take him off for an hour, parade through the city, and then put him back. Yeah. No, serious, that's what I knew. But I never said, Lord, you're my Lord and my Savior. I received the free gift of salvation. I never did. 28, I'm listening to a church in South Africa, Ray McCauley. He came from Rhema's Bible School, and he started Rhema in South Africa, a huge church, 20,000 members, even more. And so, but there were five, it would seat 5,000 at the time. I was in the service and I heard a sermon like this for the first time in my life. I heard something like this. I thought, I can relate. I can, yeah. I actually understand. I can relate to what this man is saying. Yeah. Because up until that point, all I heard was traditional religion. Yes, thou shalt not steal. Get yourself to confession tomorrow. I lived in confession. Me and the bishop, myself and my priest, we like had a great relationship. We were buds. Yeah. I'm serious. I couldn't relate to what I was learning there because I didn't learn anything. But when this opened up, I probably would learn something now. But I wasn't ready at that stage to receive anything. But when this man started to speak and I started to relate to what he was saying, I'm thinking, but you're supposed to be a man of the cloth. How can you have problems? And how come this? And I started relating. And I thought, oh my, this is the God I want. I want Jesus. I need Jesus. And then when he did the altar call, I ran. I ran. Me and another 100 people, we ran down to the altar. Ran down. I said, I want to receive Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. At that precise moment, God said, I'm taking you out of the kingdom of the power of darkness. And I'm putting you into the kingdom of my precious, dear, beloved son. Everything changed. That was my biggest holy moment I ever had when I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And nothing remained the same ever, ever, ever again. I've got myself into trouble. God got me out of it since then. I got myself into more trouble. He got me out of it again. I got myself into financial mess. He got me out of it again. Oh, God, I knew how to put my foot in my mouth, but God gets me out every time. Come on, and my wife will bear witness to that. Come on. Amen. Our marriage has never been as good as it is today. Amen. We love and absolutely adore each other like we haven't before. Yeah, all glory to God. It's all God. And a bit of effort on our part. But seriously. And so I started relating and I said, I like what the man's saying. He's telling me that Jesus loves me and that he wants to take care of me and he wants to hold me and he wants to take, you know, any fears that I've got in my life, he'll take them away. And wow, really? I started listening to this and my heart, my spirit just opened that wide. And I just grabbed onto Jesus. And I tell you what, I have not let go. And I'm never going to let go. I'm telling you, I am clinging to my Lord and my Savior with all of my teeth, my nails, my fingernails, my arms. I've got myself locked under his arm. I am hanging on to dear Jesus. Because I tell you what, that's the best place to be.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Extreme Faith. To hear this message in its entirety, log on to traditionworshipcenter.com or join us for our live services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. with youth and children's services available, located at 10799 Southwest Civic Lane, Port St. Lucie, in our beautiful Tradition Square Town Hall facility.
West of Old England. A WCNO corporate underwriter has equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler Pro Rodeo and Horseman headquarters. They also have a boot department with Ariat, Double H, Carolina, Justin, Rocky Durango, Danpost, Lucchese boots, along with Minnetonka, moccasins, and Stetson hats. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 646 646-